Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Good morning, rave listeners, and welcome to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. The Week is brought to you by Mitsubishi, manufacturers of, well, all kinds of things for the audiovisual industry. You can find out more about that at Mitsubishi.com. With me this morning is Mario Maltese. Mario is Executive Director for the Association for Quality in Audiovisual Technology. And I think I'll just open this up with, good morning, Mario. Welcome to The Week.
Good morning. Thank you for the welcome, and really good to be here.
Mario, why don't you tell us a little about the AQAV?
Okay. AQAV is a nonprofit organization, and it's dedicated to improving the quality in the audiovisual industry, actually audiovisual technology. And specifically, it's on the, it kind of focuses not so much on the technology as much as it focuses on the human systems that put the technology in, that design it, integrate it, install it, and service it. And I guess it was born out of my day job, if you will, which was with a company called Audiovisual Resources, whose main revenue gravitated to third-party testing and verification for corporations. So we would be hired directly from the customer, financial institutions, universities, governments, to have the quality assurance tasks or the monitoring and measuring for systems that were designed and installed by others. So they're typically larger systems, but there are also many smaller systems. And from that perspective, we learned a heck of a lot. And one of the things we had to do is to come up with some kind of a standard for telling whether a system is actually installed as requested and this type of thing. So it was from that day job, if you will, that we saw the need to move this into, from an educational point of view, into the AV industry, the designers, the installers, and the technology managers, who have a huge impact on the quality as what comes out with installing audiovisual technology into a facility. So it's been a heck of a ride, and we took what we did as AVR and we opened it up to a wider, a spectrum of a group of technology managers, consultants, integrators, and independent programmers, and we said, okay, here's what we have. How can we make it better? And from that, we came out with a standard, the AV 9000. It's a de facto standard. And we actually had one revision from it already to address the impact of digital video as what it's happening to our industry. And so it's been going on and being applied really for well over 1,000 systems very successfully.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, when we hear the development of standards, I think one of the things people are going to ask is our industry association, Infocom, has been working very hard over the last couple of years. It seems like their number one focus, for whether those of us agreed with it or not, has been the establishment of standards, the working with ANSI to develop standards for our industry. Where do these two things differ?
Well, everything that Infocom is doing in creating the standards is an excellent first step, if you will, to get that process down. And I think it's very laudable, very much needed. However, Infocom is coming from an educational perspective, which is their first. That's where they came from. And I know I was influential in leading the Infocom towards moving towards standards. However, in some cases, and I can cite several other industries where this example rings true, that if you have some innate issue with the status quo, you're not going to make any meaningful change. In other words, the ANSI approach of accepting it from an industry committee needs to happen. However, if your status quo needs fiction, it's not gonna gel. You have to almost start with the de facto. And I'll cite the automotive industry. When the United States was kind of set on their laurels from the influx of high quality competition from both Japan and Europe, they had to do something. And so they took the international standard for quality management, the fundamentals of quality management, which is ISO 9000, and they took that very generic, very general standard for quality management, and they put upon that a set of metrics that they called QS 9000, which now gets specific for the automotive industry. And that's a de facto standard. There was no industry standard at the time, but it had to do something, to get everybody's attention. And it came from the manufacturers, and it started just with the automotive industry in the United States. And then it later on became an industry standard when now it's in the TS series, where you have Europe and Japan joining in on it. But it had to start with a de facto standard, something where you have to go to a few people, if you will, who are out of the status quo to start the ball rolling. So it's really not going in a competition point of view. It's going in a parallel direction. And then there are other reasons why you have an independent organization do that, and that's what happened with the automotive industry. It's what happened with the telecommunications industry. It's what happened with the aerospace industry. You don't have the industry association coming up with those standards. You have an independent group do that, and that's what AQAB provides for the AV industry.
I see. And, you know, if in looking back at organizations that I've been involved in, and as you know, I've been involved both with manufacturers, with installers, and well, you know, most of my career with staging companies, there are various standards in various industries. And looking back at their implementation, the one thing I can say is when we implemented a quality standard, and I'm thinking back to my manufacturing experience, we saw a reduction in cost based on it, but we saw an upfront cost in getting it going. And I think that that's one of the things, if you look at installers in our industry, that'll be the first thing that they ask about, is what's my investment in getting going in a quality control program?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. And that's probably the key stumbling block to a lot of people you know, getting into it. And I think I have a couple of things to state there. One is that when we, you know, AVR is an ISO 9000 registered company and has been since 2004. And we noticed that when we first became certified, it took a lot of time, it took a lot of effort to do that, to actually get the your processes documented and follow the standard. But what we found is that the net profits increased 400% in the first year. The net profits increased another 600% over that in the second year. Couple that with the fact that if you're not paying attention to your quality management, that is focusing on giving the customer precisely what he's asking for, then your cost of quality could be as high, in fact, often is, as high as 20% of your revenue. So if you look at a couple of tens of thousand dollars or so of investment into moving into quality management, as opposed to losing several hundred thousand dollars, even for, for a small company, for a $10 million company, you're talking, $2 million. So return on investment is almost, makes it a no-brainer. I mean, you can't beat the economics of doing things right the first time.
Yeah, I observe that in my own company. I run a small installation company now, and one of the things we look at is the most expensive thing we can have happen is to have to do something twice.
Right, exactly.
And you know, obviously on the staging side of the industry, which is one that I write about the most, and in the installation side of the industry, our big cost is labor. You know, the heck with equipment, that's a pass-along cost anyway. You know, what we really make our money on or lose our money on are our people. And if something like this can pay for itself quickly, then it's obviously something that's a need to do. Let me ask you this. Somebody signs on, a small company signs on for the Association for Quality in Audiovisual Technology. What does that first year in implementing it look like?
Well, we're trying to make it a two-step process. We can understand, as you understand, that the ISO 9000 adoption may take a little bit longer. However, at least what the AV 9000 standard gives you is a set of metrics, a set of tests. Our work is very complicated. The deliverables are not all that clear. You know, you have highly technological product, and you have a set of deliverables that are not, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm going to come and set it up, or I'm going to come and program, and there's a lot of subjective quality here. So unless you get that nailed down and clarified, you never really finish. So these metrics, these battery of tests that you apply at different stages of the development of the project gives you a way that gives you a very accurate go, no-go. And we say quality assurance because you want to apply these tests at each stage, and there's a different set of tests for each stage, for when you have your needs analysis to your design review, to your engineering review, to your staging, and to the commissioning in the field. Just taking those metrics and applying them into your systems and every system that you do, you're going to start to see the benefits. Your costs are going to drop. And if everybody in your company is doing it, they become visually aware of what will pass that battery of tests. So they tend to set up a balance on how they do things to make sure it is going to pass that test. So at least getting the metrics, get the training. I mean, the standard, fortunately or unfortunately, is written in a checklist form. There's no real long work instruction to do each particular test. It does require a certain amount of expertise. If you're not sure of them, if you don't have the metrics, then certainly you can get these trainings. AQAV does support this. We have a training program. We're giving it locally now, and we also have our in the works of bringing it out on the road, at least regionally in the United States, and we're having a lot of pressure to bring it over to Europe to get this training so that you can see how easy it is and why you do these tests, because they do filter out all the defects.
I see. Now, one of the things that I've always found, too, in small companies especially, in applying for or achieving a set of standards like this, is the fear that the standardization will make their product look the same as somebody else's. I'll give as an example my company. I mean, I've known you for a long time. We've both been teaching a long time in the industry. And I think that one of the things that makes my small company stand out more than anything else is not going up through the system, but it's the customer education afterwards. Our educational materials and our process are significantly better than any of our competitors. And I think every competitor has something like that that they take pride in. Will a standard have a tendency to suppress that and make our product the same as somebody else's?
Okay. Now, first of all, I will make one comment. It is infinitely easier for a small company, and we're a small company too on the AVR side. It's a lot easier to control your quality in a small company than a large company. That being said, you have to understand the AV 9000 is a bare minimum. It's just set as a way that the customer can accept that, okay, this designer and this installer gave me what I asked for. So it's just catching a minimum. So there's plenty of room to add that special sauce to get into what makes you so much more of a differentiator as far as what your competitor is. But you cannot believe what we were finding out on the testing verification side. Basic, simple things were just being overlooked. And then it would have taken the effort maybe another half hour or so. Instead, the callbacks and the sending back, all these costs are hidden. And that means that you're spending all of this money. You don't even know it. It's not like you're getting a bill for it. Your team is just taking so much longer to do a simple task. And that's what we're trying to nail down. It's just a bare minimum that, okay, I did my job. Here's what I told you I was going to give you, and here's a report that signifies it. And you're turning over a system that's zero defects. I had one integrator come back to me, says, we love working with you guys. Now, you can understand, an integrator working with a third party could get a little bit, I guess, anxious. You know, who's this guy going to look over our shoulder and this type of thing? He comes back with me and says, you know, it's a funny thing. The last job we did with you, which was about a year ago, we had no callbacks. Or rather, we had three callbacks. They were all equipment related. So, I mean, forcing the issue to make sure that it was good enough for a third party, of course, nothing beats that. However, there's nothing wrong with you doing that yourself. The designer and the integrator applying these metrics to make sure that you're turning it over to the customer with zero defects.
Well, I think one of the things that I can testify to on that is that there's also nothing more costly than finding out that you and the client had a different idea of what was going to happen. And, you know, I think that anything that improves that process of, first of all, you know, acknowledging the standards which the system needs to meet, and then two, a sign off that acknowledges when they've done them, both of those things are incredibly powerful things in terms of organizing a company. I think that one of the things that we experience the worst cost with also is the drag on sign off. Right, you know, the sign-off that takes a week longer than it's supposed to, because you do have points where you didn't have exactly the same idea for what was going to happen.
I think you're getting right to the heart of the matter. In fact, we had a couple of people that went through to seek the Certified Quality Assurance Technician certification, and they went back and they started bringing these concepts into their company. And they started requests, can we have this training for the salesmen, for the business developers, because they're having a tough time getting the salesmen and the business development people to do just that, nail down what exactly the requirements are that this customer is expecting. It's a little bit tough if they don't have internal personnel that understand the concepts. And I can also see where some people actually told me, well, the customer doesn't really know what he wants. And it makes me go crazy. He may not exactly know what he wants, but he sure knows what he doesn't want. So you better make sure that you're communicating with the customer what it is that you are promising to do in a very unambiguous manner. Otherwise, there's no purpose for quality control. We do have a free webinar coming up, scheduled for January, which addresses just this, to get those requirements down for from the standpoint of the person selling the job.
Great. We'll make sure we put that in the blog so people can reach it. By the way, something that I should say that I forgot to make as a disclaimer at the top of this is that Rave Publications has taken an unusual step with the Association for Quality and Audiovisual Technology in that we have actually endorsed the organization. So that tells you a little bit about how Gary and the team at Rave feel about this, and also something I should have said at the top of this show, was that we do indeed endorse AQAV. Anyway, one of the things that you mentioned in this last question was the CQT. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a training points exactly to, if you will, a audiovisual auditor. And in fact, part of the training is, of course, the metrology, so you understand what the test equipment is. You go through the details. It's a hands-on type of approach where you're actually doing the tests. We actually bring you out to a job site where you perform the commissioning tests. You get a little bit of auditor training in accordance to ISO 19016, I think it is, which is the standard for auditing. And they learn how to write, because the auditor, when in his reports, the reports create a vehicle of information for the corrective action to take place should there need to be. And the people have gone through it, and they have a lot of letters after the name, and some of them have said that that was the best training they've ever had. Now, some of them use it for the internal use, their quality assurance people, because it's always good to have somebody, somebody should proofread your work. Same thing in the organization for an integrator. The person who wired the system, it shouldn't be the one who's actually verifying whether the system was wired properly. So it's 3 days of training. There's some knowledge-based stuff. There's a lot of demonstrations. There's a lot of working with the instrumentation, so you understand the limitations of your instrumentation. They can fool you. And there's a practicum, and then there's a test on the fourth day where they have to demonstrate proficiency hands-on in what they've learned.
Well, let me ask you this. Companies sign on for AQAV. Can an individual take that training? I can think of a lot of high-end freelancers who would definitely want to do that, and also then could be the person to bring that concept to the companies that they work with.
Absolutely. They are encouraged. And in fact, we have a couple of people. I'm trying to set this up around the United States, because some of the ABR companies, customers, are global and national, and they need people all around the United States. And it's just a lot more economical, rather than paying ABR's travel expenses to go to the West Coast, to have people who are independently trained as CQT who can perform the same service on the West Coast, if you get my drift.
Excellent. So they can find out about that at your website, I take it.
That's correct.
Great. Let me ask you this. You've got, since you've established a professional designation for someone with this training, how have the other industry associations, CEDIA, NSCA, Infocom, reacted to AQAV?
Well, of course, I can't speak for any of them. The standard is really for more for conference and conference rooms and lecture halls and this type of thing. So there's a lot of things that it doesn't fully address. Certainly you would have in a standard you see parenthetical metrics as suggestions for a particular level or performance level. For instance, targeted listening levels might be parenthetically 66 dBs PLA, but it's slow. But again, it's that what's good for a conference room will not be good for a Pentecostal church or for performing arts. So it's kind of general. It can apply to a lot of different things, and I'm not sure really what the individual associations what their take on it is. AQAV is the main focus is not for membership who are in the AV industry, nor is it for those in the IT industry, for instance. These metrics are focused on the customer, and the customer, I'm defining as the users or the presenters, the ones that are in the meetings or chairing a meeting that utilize audiovisual technology. It's written really for them, and not really the industry associations per se. One of the technology managers that we spoke with, who is in charge of I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars worth of audiovisual technology. The question she asked me is, who is Infocom?
Understood. I've had that question more often than not. The CTS after my name, for instance, is something that most of my customers ask, what's that? So, and many of those customers are people who buy hundreds of conference rooms. So it's not unusual to have that asked. And I think that the aiming of the standard towards an end user is, well, I mean, the end user is the standard we're trying to meet in the long run anyway. Yes. So that makes the most sense.
It's not in any way competing. I'm still 100% behind Infocom as you are. I mean, I've been an academy instructor there for I don't know how many years now, but they are also extremely necessary in bringing the bar up for coming up with these certifications for CTS, CTSD, CTSI. When you do so, then your quality management system becomes simplified. I'll give you an example of how do you create a work instruction for drawing blood? Well, you don't. It's too complicated. You have a registered nurse or a medical doctor perform the activity. Well, it's the same thing here. It just simplifies. If you have your staging tests, the person who is signing the affidavit is a CTSI. So you really need Infocom and everything it has been doing. They should continue to on the education parts. They should continue to write standards that can be used, that can be utilized for the benefit of the customer. It just simplifies the whole quality management.
Well, let me wind up with this. How do I decide, looking down, if my organization needs to approach this at this point? What do you consider the prime criteria for I need to get involved in quality management?
If you're serious about giving the customer what they ask for so that they can become your salesman and start selling you, that's one key reason, because this is the shortest path for that. If you're interested in going through a minefield of technology, of manufacturers that use integrators for alpha testers, for going through the demand on training that you have to have, then certainly your profits, if you want to stay in business and be profitable, then certainly you do definitely want to embrace the AQAV paradigm for quality management.
Okay, then what's my first step?
Well, the first step is I would go on the AQAV website. You can get a whiff of it with the staging and the commissioning tests, and you simply fill out the form and you get a free copy of the something that's called a standard specification, which gives both of those up-to-date staging and commissioning tests. You can become a member of AQAV, so you can start in on the emails, and you can. If we invite you to take an active role on the committees, because we have changes to always in the work to keep up to date. Certainly, get your key people trained on being a certified quality assurance AV auditor, and then I would, if you're a technology manager, certainly start asking for your, or in fact, insisting that your vendors be at least AV 9000 compliant. And the website has all that information on how to be each, on how to follow for each. If you're a manufacturer, if you're an integrator, if you're an AV designer, the AQAV website has downloads that will explain what to do for the next step in detail.
And what was that address again?
AQAV.org.
Excellent. I'm sure you'll see some of our listeners there relatively quickly, as I think this is an issue that is certainly, come for its time in our industry. Mario, that's all the time we have for today, and I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Joel, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for your support.
Thanks.